Let's turn to James chapter 1, tonight beginning with verse 16. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. He has been talking about an error that was being made. The idea that a person, when he was tempted, erred in thinking that God was tempting him. That's wrong. God does not tempt any of us to do evil. Satan is the tempter. And the purpose, of course, is to lead you to sin. And he appeals to the lust of our flesh. And if we yield to the temptation and continue in sin, the result is death. But God is not the one that is tempting you. The Lord does put us through tests. And those are important for us to learn about ourselves. As God said to the children of Israel after they had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God reminds them of that 40 years of wandering, he said to test you and to prove you. Not that God needed proof himself, but we needed proof of the reality of our own strengths and weaknesses. And so God often allows the testings, but never the temptings. Do not err, thinking that God does test you. Do not err also in the fact that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Every good thing that happens to me is God's blessings upon me. I don't thank my lucky stars for anything. I'm not lucky. I've never won a contest or anything in my life as far as rewards and all. I thank God for every good thing that happens to me. And I thank God there are many good things. But I recognize that God is the source of the good things that happen. Throughout the entire Bible, we are reminded and we are shown the good and the perfect things that have come from God unto men in various times. David declared, "The law of the Lord is perfect, every good and perfect gift." God has told us how we are to live and has told us the blessings if we would live by these rules. And so the law of the Lord is perfect. In Psalm 1, David said, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way with sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." What's going to happen to that man? Oh, he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. In Psalm 84, David said, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to those that ask Him. When we think of the good gifts of God, we, of course, must think of the gift of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Paul uses that in Romans as a greater to a lesser kind of an argument. He said, if God spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how much more then shall He not freely give us all things? Whatever you and I may need, it is so insignificant as far as God giving you what you need compared to what God has already demonstrated His willingness to give to you. He was willing to give His only begotten Son. And if He spared not His own Son, how much more then shall He not freely give to you tonight whatever it is that you might be needing? Through Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ, we have, of course, the gift of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. There is so much that is bound up in the one gift of Jesus as we appropriate Jesus to our lives. There are so many other fringe benefits that come with Jesus Himself, and it's just a glorious, glorious thing. But God has also given to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need power in our lives to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. An overcoming life, where the Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. But we who have endeavored to overcome evil with good find that so oftentimes we just can't do it, though we desire to. And so He has given to us the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do those things that we desire to do but cannot do in and of ourselves. And of course, again, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are so many other wonderful gifts of the Spirit. And of course, there are listings in the New Testament of these gifts of the Spirit and through the Spirit that are given to us. And so God is the giver. Don't err. Know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. They come down to us, James says, from the Father of lights. Now that word lights is orbs, and it's actually a reference to God's creation of the universe. And of course, when we think about what we might need, and we come to God and ask for those things that we need, it's, I think, great to remind ourselves of the power and the greatness of God. You know, sometimes when we are in prayer, we think, well, now, God, this is a big one. And, you know, I'm really not quite sure, but this is really big, Lord. Well, take a look at the universe. And you know, as the disciples were praying, they began their prayer, and I think it's a good way to begin prayer often. They said, oh, Lord, You are God. You created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. Now we're setting our problem in perspective. God created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. Thus, what we are needing tonight is so insignificant to what God is able to do. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And so these good and perfect gifts come to us from the Father of lights. John wrote in his first epistle, "This then is the message that we have heard of him, and we declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." In his gospel, chapter 1, John wrote concerning Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in darkness, and the darkness could not extinguish it." Now there was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. We are told that in the beginning, back in Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we read there in Genesis, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." And then in verse 14 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament," or he's talking about the stars, "of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. We're told that light originated with God. He is light. But we are also told that when we are in heaven, that there will be no need for the sun or the illumination of stars. That in that heavenly city, there is no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Isaiah the prophet said, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give the light unto you, but the Lord shall be unto you an everlasting light, and your God your glory." In the scriptures, light is related to knowledge. It's related to purity. It's related to happiness. And it's related to the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of light and life. In opposition, darkness is related to Satan, who is the ruler of the king of darkness. And darkness is related to ignorance. We say they are living in darkness. We're talking about living in ignorance. We talk about the dark ages, the ages of superstition and all. It's related to evil, and it's related to sorrow. Now again, concerning God, the Father of lights, he also has no changing. We call it the immutability of God. He doesn't change. "In whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning." In Numbers 23:19, the prophet Balaam said, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" The prophet Samuel said, "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he's not a man that he should repent." God said to Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, who can declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. He doesn't change. His counsel stands. He doesn't change his mind. And I think that that is an interesting concept, God changing his mind. You know, I'm really glad he doesn't. Even though I must confess, I have sought at many times to persuade him to change his mind. I'm guilty. But he stood his ground. And later I found out how good it was that he stayed his ground and didn't change to my opinion or the way I felt it should be or what I thought was best. He didn't change. Sometimes people get upset and pout a bit when God doesn't change to accommodate their desires. But, you know, I have discovered that God knows a lot more than I know. People are slow to discover that. And God knows what is best. And because he is a loving Father, he does what is best for us. To the prophet Malachi, God said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If God had changed, he would have consumed them. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know what Jesus wants to do, just look at the New Testament in the Gospels and see what he has done, what he did while he was here on earth, and realize that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James goes on to tell us, who of his own will, doesn't change, he doesn't repent, who of his own will begot us by the word of truth. In other words, he's talking about our new birth. We've been born again. We had a spiritual birth, and that was by God and his own will. John tells us concerning Jesus that he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. Born again by the will of God, who of his own will begot us by the word of truth. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ, I have begotten you through the gospel. So we have been born again through the gospel by the will of God. That word of truth by which we are born again is the gospel. And what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Peter wrote, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Been born again by the will of God, through the Word of God. That Word of God planted in my heart, germinated, and brought forth this life of the Spirit that I now live, begotten again, born again, born of the Spirit. There is a natural birth, Jesus said, and there is a spiritual birth. He talked to Nicodemus about the need of having a spiritual birth. Paul talks about a natural body and a spiritual body. And so the natural body, natural birth is by the will of the flesh. Now he indicates that we have not been born again by the will of our flesh, but by God. And it's the work of God, that regeneration in our lives. The natural birth by the will of the flesh, the combining of the male sperm and the female ovum, 23 chromosomes coming from each, forming the DNA molecule with all of the information that will determine the color of eyes and the shape of the face and the color of hair and all of that information encoded in the combining by the will of the flesh, and so here I am. But being born again, there is a seed that is planted in my heart, and that is the Word of God. And it is interesting, as you take a look at the analogy here, the Word of God has, it's sort of like an encapsulated seed of DNA information. All that is necessary is, and all of the information is there in the Word that will cause you to be born again, and all of the aspects of this life in the Spirit are all there in the Word of God. How important is the Word of God in our lives today? So the spiritual birth, the seed is the Word of God and all of the information necessary to create the spiritual life. A new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, everything becomes new. So do not err, my beloved brethren. God doesn't tempt you, but God is working in you His will, His purpose, to create you a new creature, a new creation. And every good and every perfect gift comes from God, who is the Father of lights. And in Him, there's no variableness, there's no shadow of turning. For of His own will, He begat us again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation, the new creation in Christ. Father, we're so thankful that You, by Your will, have called us and chosen us and ordained that we should be Your disciples and that we should live our lives for Your glory. Help us, Lord, this night, that the Word of God might work in us, conforming us by the Spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for all of Your wonderful gifts that You bestow upon us daily. So many of them, Lord, we don't even recognize and oftentimes never acknowledge. But we tonight, Lord, want to acknowledge the wonderful gifts that You have given to us. Especially, Lord, the gift of your Son, and through him the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit working in us and through the Word conforming us into your image. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Make us, Lord, like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you tonight, whatever your need may be. God, who created the heavens and the earth, is making himself available to you to help you, whatever the need might be, and whatever the need is, it is nothing compared to what God has already demonstrated his willingness to give to you. And so we would encourage you to receive tonight that work of God in your life. And these men are down here to minister to you and to pray for you. So as soon as we're dismissed, come on forward and let God handle those problems that you found are just nagging you and just tormenting you. Turn them over to the Lord. The Bible tells us, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. God bless you.